Wan'Dale Robinson, is he a dynasty stash or are we dashing? We're here to break down whether we're buying this guy for redraft and dynasty on the Razzball Fantasy Podcast starting right now. All right, so listen, Wan'Dale Robinson, we're here to break it down today on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. If you're seeing on your screen, I'm joined by Paul Blake, who, by the way, has been pushing Wan'Dale Robinson on me constantly to talk about this guy. And I, as a Giants fan, I feel like I should be really excited because he's excited. So, Paul, I'm excited to talk to you about Wan'Dale Robinson. What's going on, man?
Oh, same old, just loving Wan'Dale, man. He's one of my favorite players of this draft.
I like it, dude. Listen, as a Giants fan, I'm all for it. So listen, keep up the hype. We're going to get into it in just a second. Before we do, we want to make sure the people who are watching this show are following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. But also make sure you go check out Razzball.com because the baseball guys, basketball, hockey, we got it all. We're all at Razzball.com. Go check out our latest articles by Paul Blake, myself. We're breaking down a bunch of information. But today, we're here to talk about Wan'Dale Robinson, his fit. We're going to talk dynasty. We're going to talk redraft. We're going to see if it's even worth taking this guy in fantasy football. So I'm excited for you to dive in, Paul. So give us your breakdown and your thoughts about Wan'Dale Robinson and his fit with the New York Giants.
All right. Well, first thing I want to say about Wan'Dale is, for me, this is the most elusive player in this year's draft. He can make people miss, and he is a slick runner, slick and sudden. Really love him. Just to break things down, he was a second-round pick, obviously, for the Giants, 43rd overall, 5'8". They list him at 185, probably more like 175, maybe 180 if he gets there, but not a big dude. Definitely not a big guy. He was a big-time recruit, though. He was a high four-star. He was a top player in the state of Kentucky, top all-purpose back in the entire 2019 class there, ranked 40th nationally. He did commit to Nebraska coming out of Kentucky. Kind of a surprise. A lot of people thought he was going to stay home with the hometown Wildcats there, but he went to Nebraska and turned out not to be a really great decision by Wan'Dale there. They misused him. They had him in the backfield. Had him running the ball a lot, even though he wanted to be more of kind of a slot receiver. So after two kind of disappointing years with the Huskers, he proved Thomas Wolfe wrong, and he went back home again, you know, and he was great for Kentucky. He basically, what he did in 2 years for Nebraska, he did in one season for Kentucky. So he did, I think it was around 1,400 yards of scrimmage, and in Nebraska, he got about that in 2 years. So that's impressive work, man. I really, really enjoy the way he plays because he's a tough kid and he was able to bounce back up off the ground from hits from SEC defenders and Big Ten defenders. And those are the big boys. And I know you got to love that with the Giants because a lot of troubles, a lot of injuries in that wide receiver group, isn't there?
I can tell you as a Giants fan, when we draft a wide receiver, all I'm thinking is he going to play 6, 8, or 10 games next year? So I'm hoping that's not true for Robinson.
No, I didn't. So I tried counting it up. It wasn't a lot of great information on games missed, but I could count about four games that he missed between his 3 year college career. And like I said, you know, playing running back in the Big Ten, you're getting hit by big time linebackers. You're going to be playing on Sunday. Same story in the SEC. You know, those safeties are ruthless over there. And, he was able to hang in there. 104 receptions in the SEC. That's pretty good work, man.
Yeah. So I have a question because of his running back background, a position that was used by their new offensive coordinator / head coach Brian Daboll was the Isaiah McKenzie role, kind of a gadget role. Do you see Wan'Dale maybe in 2022 filling that kind of role and then stepping into a bigger role in the next few years, or do you think he's gonna probably take that starting job from Tony Shepherd or Galladay in year one?
Well, I think, you know, I would guess that it kind of starts there with the Isaiah McKenzie type role. Okay, I think they kind of bring this kid in pretty slowly if they can. But you know how it works as a Giants fan, and we know about the history of these injuries. You know, someone's going to get hurt, and it's going to push Wan'Dale to the forefront. And, you know, I think he may Wally Pip these guys. The one that I'm kind of focusing on right now is Kadarius Toney, because he seems like he's kind of fallen out of favor there in New York pretty early too, because first round pick last year, he looked like he had all the ability in the world. Wandale's got that type of ability, but maybe a few less headaches for the Giants coaching staff.
You know, the thing with the Giants is that they have a lot of guys that are going to be free agents next year. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard. So as soon as 2023, this is a three receiver set again. It's Galladay, Tony, and also Robinson. So this could be as simple as they are investing in long term for Daniel Jones and company to, or for whoever the quarterback is next year, because they know these guys do have free agency coming up. So I guess my question, though, is if you're talking to a redraft person, is he going to be someone that you find probably taking late, or are you going to probably say to yourself, I'll probably get him on waivers in week 8 if something happens like that?
I'd take him late because I do think the upside's there, you know, but I wouldn't take him very early at all. I mean, I'm talking probably redraft. This is one of the last picks of your draft, but I do think you should get him there. You know, I think he's going to get on the field in kind of these gadgety ways, like we mentioned with the Isaiah McKenzie type role. And then, yeah, maybe next year. It seems like Sterling Shepard, didn't he restructure the contract? He restructured his contract to kind of stick around for one more year with Daniel Jones. So
it's a void. Yeah. The year after this one, it's a void year. So they actually are out of him sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been 7 years, I think, with the Giants there for Shepard. It's been a little bit. It seems like this is kind of the, you know, shit or get off the pot type moment right now for him. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's got it in him. I think Sterling Shepard's obviously a better receiver right now. Wandale only played slot receiver 1 year. He's got to work on the route tree. Probably got to work on the hands a little bit. You got to think Shepard's better at both those. But as far as breakaway speed goes, you know, Wandale could take it to the house, and he can make people miss a lot more than Shepard can, at least at this stage of his career.
So I was looking at some of the player comps, and the first one's going to be a shot to your heart. Scotty Miller from the Buccaneers. And that one obviously is more of a reserved role, but that is his direct player comp or player profiler. But if you start diving in further, guys like Tyler Lockett, John Brown pop up. Tyler Lockett was another guy where he came in, he you know, returned kicks. It was more of a gadget player early on in his career, but he did have a decent rookie season. So of those comps, John Brown, Tyler Lockett, Scotty Miller, which one do you think probably fits the best for him, or none of the above?
So I like Lockett out of that group. And, you know, I think Wandale may be a little bit different than all of them. You know, the comp that he had coming out of high school, I believe from 247 Sports, I think was, Rondale Moore, which I thought was kind of a little bit lazy. You know, the names rhyme. They're from similar areas. They train and work out together. So it seemed like a bit of a lazy comp. But, you know, I don't think that Lockett's great at going downfield, right? So's John Brown, you know, Scotty Miller. Those guys are going to stretch the field. That's their job. I didn't see a whole lot of that from Wandale. I saw where he was more kind of in the slot, getting the ball fairly close to the line of scrimmage. And then that's where the magic happens. That's where he makes people miss. That's where he breaks the long runs. That's where he really makes his hay. He's not really going to go downfield, leap over three defenders, and make these, you know, sports center 40-yard reception, 6-yard reception highlight reels. There may be a few of those in there, but I think where he breads his butter is going to be on those short plays that turns into big plays. And the Giants need that, you know? I mean, they can't just keep slowly matriculating the ball down the field every five yards every play. They're not good enough to do that. Their offense needs a big play.
Yeah, and I think this is really what Brian Daboll is coming in here to do. He's going to reinvent this entire offense around what he's been doing over the last few years in Buffalo. And when you look at that, the first thing, the good news for Robinson and what people need to know is that Brian Daboll is an offensive-minded guy who's going to bring more pass volume to this offense. I know Josh Allen last year, it was an explosion. But even the prior years, there was, I mean, Jason Garrett ran a very conservative offense, and this offense is not going to be the same. So there's a lot of opportunity there for these wide receivers to definitely have upside, especially Evan Ingram's now gone. You know, Booker and Rudolph don't seem like big guys, but these targets add up to about 150 vacated targets. But with the additional pass volume, you could see about another 200-plus opportunities. Now, when I look at the depth chart, like we just broke down, it's really an uphill battle. Galladay, Tony, Shepard, and Slayton. And Slayton's a very solid receiver. This kid is going to have to beat out one of these guys, maybe even two, just to see the field consistently. And I don't know if I buy it just year one, But overall, it's like I just brought up, in year two, a lot of those guys are out, and even Galladay has an out in 2023. So there could be an opportunity where this guy is on the field as a two-receiver set in the next 2 to 3 years. So I do like the long-term upside, but the real thing comes down to Daniel Jones. Is Daniel Jones going to be able to take a step back to where he was in 2019 when he was actually a fantasy viable guy? Here's a glimmer of hope. And after I say all this, you could poo-poo it all you want. I'll give you a second to poo-poo. But I just looked at 2019. If you look at 2019 Josh Allen versus 2019 Daniel Jones, you would look at that season and say Daniel Jones has a better future than Josh Allen. And here's why. Look at Josh Allen, 16 games played, 3,000 yards, 20 touchdown passes, 510 yards on the ground. That same season, Daniel Jones, in 12 games, 3,010 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 274 yards on the ground. So in four less games, this guy had just as many passing yards, more passing touchdowns, and was also on the doing a lot of work on the ground. So I do think Daniel Jones does offer some type of – I could see him being 2019 Josh Allen, where he gets back to those norms. And I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Allen from last year. Of course not. It's his first year in the system. But there's an opportunity for him to get to that level. So who are the fantasy-relevant guys in Buffalo 2019? Singletary, RB26. John Brown, wide receiver 26. Cole Beasley, wide receiver 42. In the season, the same season, the Giants had Barkley in the times games with Daniel Jones. He was RB6 in points per game, and they had two top 36 wide receivers. This is important because none of these receivers are being drafted in the top 36. So I guess the question comes when we look at best ball ADP and we're looking at dynasty rookie drafts, let's talk about a little bit about where you think he should go. So he's 19th overall in rookie drafts, so that's second round, and he's going outside the top 200 in best ball. So pick and choose. What do you want to talk about? Where do you think he has the most value right now, according to ADP?
Well, yeah, for starters, if I could go back to one of those names you brought up, Cole Beasley. You know, Cole Beasley, I think, is a pretty darn good comp. We may have kind of stumbled on it that way, but, you know, similar build. These are small guys. They're not big dudes. They're going to play the slot. They're going to catch that ball underneath, and they're going to try and make plays after they catch the ball. So I kind of stumbled on it, like I said, but Beasley's a really good comp there. Now, I like Wandale at the end of the second round there. He's one of the younger players in this draft. I think he's just turning 21 here recently. So there's a long runway for this kid to really build up and be something. And I think, you know, kind of going back to the Josh Allen comp with Daniel Jones, you know, Jones isn't going to kind of scramble around and make time and extend the play kind of like Allen does. Allen looks kind of like looks much more like it's off the cuff, where when Jones gets that run play, it's, this is a quarterback draw. I'm big, I'm strong, I'm fast. I'm running by people or I'm running through them. Where Allen seems a little bit more fluid, like he's just trying to make something happen, buying time for digs and, you know, the other receivers to get open downfield. You know, I think Wandale kind of bridges that gap a little bit. You know, if you don't want to dance around, if you don't think you can buy time, throw it to a guy real short and then watch him go, watch him run by people like Josh Allen does. You know, I think that's pretty good. And the Cole Beasley comp, love that comp. That's great.
All right. So, I mean, listen, there's opportunity here, I think, but based on what I'm hearing and what I feel right now, I need to see some yes, injuries can happen. But as of today, I don't know if I'm going to be picking a shot on Wandale. Give me David Bell. At this point, I'm just overwhelmed with David Bell love, so I don't even know if I could do anything else at this point. So I think in Dynasty rookie drafts, it seems fine. But at the same time, there's a lot of uncertainty with the Bills, Giants. Like Daniel Jones, who's going to be the quarterback? If Shepard has a big year or Slayton has a big year, do they get re-signed? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. We see this all the time where we think these opportunities are going to open up and they end up not. So I might be passing on Robinson, but you've piqued my interest because that's what Paul Blake does. Paul Blake comes on the show, breaks it down for us real nice, and piques our interest about some of these guys that a lot of people aren't talking about. So I appreciate that. But that's all we have for today, folks. That's another Thursday double dip with Bob and Paul Blake, dropping more knowledge on you. Make sure you're following the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel for all our great content on the baseball side. We have animated videos, people, talking puppets basically out here. So make sure you're going to Razzball Fantasy, checking out all the great content. Subscribe, rate, and review. And make sure you're checking us out across the board on TikTok and also on Instagram as well. And always visit RazzballFantasy.com. Wandale.com. So that's all we have for today, Ball. That's Paul Blake. I'm Bobby LaMarco. Guess what? We're out of here, folks.